I'm sure we've all been waiting for prices to become more manageable. Cost of living has been a major topic for what feels like too long, and it's led to many people and political groups to make claims on how to reduce costs. One of the major claims is the path to net zero is making our energy prices soar. Now, the people at CSIRO have crunched the numbers and found just the opposite in the latest Gen Cost report, the leading annual economic report that estimates the cost of building new electricity generation, storage, and hydrogen production in Australia up to 2050. Tim Buckley is the founder and director of Climate Energy Finance, and he's here to help us understand this report. Good afternoon, Tim.
Good afternoon, Caitlin.
What's the biggest takeaway you saw from this report?
I think it is probably the number one takeaway is the reminder to everyone that renewable energy, solar and onshore wind, is the lowest cost path for Australia to decarbonise and sustainably rebuild our electricity system. And that has to be firm with batteries, with pumped hydro storage, interstate grid transmission, gas peakers, etc. But it's a reminder to everyone that according to the CSIRO, the least cost path forward for Australia is to invest in wind and solar generation firmed by batteries.
Yeah, so for people who are like kind of going, well, I think this net path zero might be the reason why things are costing so much, this report kind of flat out refutes that.
It does, and it comes at a time where as of the 1st of July 2026, the default market offer for Southeast Queensland has dropped by around 7%. In nominal terms, so that's probably 10-12% in real terms because of increased penetration across Queensland and across Australia in terms of the deployment of renewable energies and batteries. And I highlight that the default market offer doesn't apply to everyone, but it is the base level that the regulator is saying for electricity prices. So in the middle of a yet another war in the Middle East, so I'm talking about the Iran war that America instigated in February, we're seeing hyperinflation of fossil fuel prices globally, and yet Australia, as of the 1st of July, is seeing retail electricity prices declining. In Queensland, by down 7%. In my state of Sydney, New South Wales, we're down 10%. And small businesses are seeing even bigger decreases. So that's not for everyone. And certainly the CSIRO report today highlights that's not going to be an ongoing trend. We're not going to see massive rampant cost reductions. But it is worth bearing in mind at a time when everyone is seeing a massive cost of living pressure and we're seeing rising inflation, rising interest rates and rising cost of living, we are seeing some relief in terms of the electricity prices. And that to me is the key takeaway, that investing in a sustainable future for Australia isn't costing us more, it's actually delivering lower prices for everyone. And we're also seeing electrification of our vehicle fleet, and again that's reducing our dependence on really expensive imported diesel and petrol. So there is cost of living relief coming. It's not going to be absolutely locked in, and there will be volatility on the way, but it's important, as you said, to remember solar, onshore wind, batteries are the least cost source of energy for Australia. We've got to deploy them ahead of closures of end-of-life coal plants. We've got to do it systematically. We've got to do it orderly. It's not going to happen overnight, but there is some relief on the horizon for everyone in Australia, industry and consumers alike.
One thing that came up during the last federal election was nuclear. What did the report have to say about nuclear power as a form of power that is viable or not viable in Australia?
Yeah, the key point you made is in Australia, and that's what this report's about. It takes the global trends and then applies it to Australia. And so I study China. I was up in China 2-3 weeks ago, and China is building more nuclear than any other nation in the world. But for every nuclear plant they're building 100 solar plants and 50 wind plants and 100 battery plants. So at the end of the day, they're applying all of the above, but it's China. They're a planned economy. They're not a democracy, and they don't have to worry about social license to operate. What this report shows is that in the Australian context, given the lack of supply chains, the lack of labour, force skills to actually build nuclear. The cost of nuclear in Australia is the single most expensive source of new generation, new energy sources for Australia. We just simply don't have the skill set, the supply chain, the knowledge, the learning by doing to do nuclear. And the first plant will take us probably 10 years to build and cost us an absolute arm and a leg. It would have to have massive government subsidies, and we'd be waiting for 1 to 2 decades before it's actually operationalized. And we've seen in Australia, major mega infrastructure projects in Australia invariably have cost blowouts, timetable blowouts. And that's what CSIRO has modeled here. We know how to deploy solar. We know how to deploy onshore wind. We know how to deploy batteries. We know how to do gas peakers. They're the least cost source for everyone. Nuclear. Works in some countries, particularly countries not blessed with the best wind and solar in the world, like Australia. But in the Australian context, I agree with the CSIRO analysis. Nuclear is just simply too slow and too expensive to be really a viable option for Australia on a 5-10 year view. Sure, 2050 might be relevant. SMRs might be relevant. Let's let some other country commercialize them, prove them up, and then we can talk about it rather than wasting time talking about it now, knowing there's no SMRs in operation anywhere in the world and they're not even under construction.
I mean, one of the big questions that comes up when you talk about renewable energy sources is that, like, what happens when the sun's not shining, the wind's not blowing? How do we manage peak energy demand times when we don't have necessarily renewables working at those times? What came out of this report as the solution for that?
Caitlin, that's really important. And the CSIRO does separate out different types of technologies. They talk about variable technologies, solar and wind. They talk about bulk energy technologies, and then they talk about peaking technologies. We need to match wind and solar with peaking technologies. And so the CSIRO models that very separately. The least cost source of generation in Australia is solar, without any doubt. Onshore wind, number two, without any doubt. Then gas, then coal, sorry, if you ignore the pollution costs of carbon. But for peaking power, to your point, the report highlights we need a huge amount more investment in batteries. We do need interstate and intraday. They're applying all of the above, but it's China. They are a planned economy. They're not a democracy, and they don't have to worry about social license to operate. What this report shows is that in the Australian context, given the lack of supply chains, the lack of labour force skills to actually build nuclear, the cost of nuclear in Australia is the single most expensive source of new generation, new energy sources for Australia. We just simply don't have the skill set, the supply chain, the knowledge, the learning by doing to do nuclear. And the first plant will take us probably 10 years to build and cost us an absolute arm and a leg. It'll have to have massive government subsidies, and we'd be waiting for 1 to 2 decades before it's actually operationalized. And we've seen in Australia, major mega infrastructure projects in Australia invariably have cost blowouts, timetable blowouts. And that's what CSIRO has modeled here. We know how to deploy solar. We know how to deploy onshore wind. We know how to deploy batteries. We know how to do gas peakers. They're the least cost source for everyone. Nuclear. Works in some countries, particularly countries not blessed with the best wind and solar in the world, like Australia. But in the Australian context, I agree with the CSIRO analysis. Nuclear is just simply too slow and too expensive to be really a viable option for Australia on a 5-10 year view. Sure, 2050 might be relevant. SMRs might be relevant. Let's let some other country commercialize them, prove them up, and then we can talk about it rather than wasting time talking about it now, knowing there's no SMRs in operation anywhere in the world and they're not even under construction.
I mean, one of the big questions that comes up when you talk about renewable energy sources is that, like, what happens when the sun's not shining, the wind's not blowing? How do we manage peak energy demand times when we don't have necessarily renewables working at those times? What came out of this report as the solution for that?
Caitlin, that's really important, and the CSIRO does separate out different types of technologies. They talk about variable technologies, solar and wind. They talk about bulk energy technologies, and then they talk about peaking technologies. We need to match wind and solar with peaking technologies. And so the CSIRO models that very separately. The least cost source of generation in Australia is solar, without any doubt. Onshore wind, number two, without any doubt. Then gas, then coal, sorry, if you ignore the pollution costs of carbon. But for peaking power, to your point, the report highlights we need a huge amount more investment in batteries. We do need interstate and intrastate grid transmission to firm it up, because it's when it's not windy in Queensland, it will be windy in South Australia. We need pumped hydro storage. Again, we have to recognise mega pumped hydro storage projects will cost an arm and a leg and take a decade to build. So let's maybe do smaller pumped hydro storage. We do need gas peakers, because obviously when the batteries have a limit to how long they can last for, they have to be recharged during the day when it's sunny. You run them out at night, you need something to firm it up. Or if you have a wind drought, as we did have in Victoria only last week, you need gas peakers. But the AEMO CSIRO report highlights that gas peakers by 2050 are likely to generate just 3-7% of the energy needs of Australia. Renewable energy, wind and solar, will provide 93% of the energy needs of Australia by 2050, and gas will play a very small but really important grid reliability role.
Okay, and finally, we've heard a lot about data centres, and I was speaking to an AI scientist today who said that Australia is the second most popular country in the world for data centres to be kind of built. So there's a whole bunch in the pipeline, and we know they can be quite energy intensive. How has the CSIRO modelled like what data centres will do to our energy capacity?
Yeah, very topical, particularly today with the Prime Minister's discussion of AI. It's not going away. It's coming really fast. And as you said, Australia is the second largest investment destination in the world behind America for data centres right now. It's really important we get all of the states to follow the rules that have been set out by the federal government just recently to say, if you want to invest in new data centres that are really water intensive and water really power intensive, you've got to bring your own power and your own water solution with you. You can't just feed off everyone else and cause inflationary costs and pressures on everyone else. You've got to bring the solution with you. So data centres have more than enough capital to actually underwrite long-term offtake agreements to underwrite new wind, new solar, new batteries, new pumped hydro storage, new gas peaking. And if they bring a whole lot of new capacity in line, if they operate flexibly, then they can actually enhance the energy system of Australia. They can drive decarbonisation, and they can actually lower the bills for everyone, including themselves. And they can do the same on water. But if it's done badly, we'll all end up paying the price.
Interesting. Tim Buckley, thanks so much for helping make sense of this report for us.
Thanks, Caitlin.
Really appreciate it. That's Tim Buckley. He's the founder and director of Climate Energy Finance. You're listening to ABC Radio Queensland, and we were just talking there about a report that just came out from the CSIRO, crunching the numbers on our energy future up to 2050. Coming up, we are going to be talking